Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without.
usually comes wearing a stranger's light. It's easier to deal with that way. But now it's you. I've hurt you, disrespected you. There's nowhere to hide. No turning back, no rearrangement. Only what lies ahead. And you're so heaven sent.
Kind of warped and transformed. I mean, some of the initial takeaways here are...
No. I think it's important because the story, you're right, my friend. The story has morphed and transformed and has been packaged and canned into this version of reality that the people, the good old people of America, are supposed to digest as the truth. And according to CNN, the polls are bearing out to be a success from the propaganda ministry in the United States government because the vast majority of the people right now are ready to, to put the Russian Federation into the column of the evil empire. And it's absolutely because of phony, false propaganda that's being pumped out by our establishment media. But
they're kind of backing off a little bit because the Russians, Well, the Russians have plenty of evidence. They've got a whole dissertation. I've been going through this on number one, they have 10 questions that should be asked.
Yeah.
We should get to those maybe. Some of those have already been asked by this point, but the difference between the U.S.'s story and what they were peddling tonight was that, well, it may have been some rogue Ukrainian operator on his own that did this because, of course, they tried to say that it was the MPAD, that they had the surface-to-air missiles, Stinger missiles, other things that could have been, you know, given to rebels or, I hate to use the term rebels, but,
I'd like to say freedom fighters.
Ukrainians, Eastern Ukrainians, Russian,
yeah.
Russian sympathizers, those that, are being, for whatever reason, employed by the FSB, Russian military generals on the ground. I we don't know. Of course, we're saying, well, that these people are just, they're just separatists. They're just protesters. But the amount of shelling of civilians has been completely washed away from the context. So
absolutely. Good.
Yeah. This plane, the MH17 flight, another Malaysian airline. We touched on this. This actually happened last week with the first Doomcast, but so much more has been, I guess, played out. But in the media for the most part, but it was flying at 33,000 feet. MPATs, Stinger missiles, they don't reach that elevation.
No, they max out at 20,000 feet. Continue.
So it had to be some pretty advanced military weaponry, and now they've said I don't know. It depends on who you ask, but the story is morphed into it's either the BUK system or the SA-17s. Watched the little dissertation on it. And these are a big deal. I mean, this is a big piece of military equipment. These things aren't just it's a tank. It's practically a tank. It has a big, looks like something from a G.I. Joe 80s cartoon. You know, it's got the rocket launchers on top of it. It's got a turret.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's not just something some drunk Ukrainian hoodlum, as they first tried to pin it out to be, may have done this. So that brings up a lot of questions because, Russia has radars. They have satellites. And they've got the proof that
a hell of a lot more proof. Look, and you're not going to hear it from Fox. Look, and look, everybody in America who thinks there's a distinction and likes to quote Sean Hannity about the liberal media, or likes to quote MSNBC when it comes to Rush Limbaugh and the conservative media. Look how collaborated their efforts are to convince this country and the West. And listen, America, we're the only ones. Look, we're the only ones that are buying it hook, line, and sinker. There's a very, very good reason why Europe is not on board with the let's go after Russia and bash Russia bandwagon. It's because the proof that we put out is thin at best. And Doug, I'm sure you've seen some of this evidence that they've
got. Well, it doesn't matter, though. I mean, the evidence is ridiculous. It's mostly social networking, what they got from Twitter. I've looked through all of it. Feel free, if you're out there listening, to do it in your own spare time.
Oh, my God, I would love that. I would love a listener to say, Doug and Charlie, you guys are dead wrong. This is the smoking gun. Because, unless it's escaped Doug's eyes and my eyes, it doesn't exist. You have John Kerry talking about troop movements on the Russian border, 150-vehicle column, and he mentions personnel carriers, and he mentions tank and maybe some artillery pieces. But you know what? That crap's been going on for months and months and months. And he doesn't mention the Buk missile launcher. God, I can't talk today. Buk missile launcher, probably because they don't have any evidence of it. And, all the evidence they put forward, including their maps, including their, analysis from, quote, air quote, intelligent agencies, is all complete and utter hearsay and garbage. I mean, it is less convincing than the information that led us into invading Iraq, period.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least we don't have troops on the ground. We have the CIA, the Pentagon, the FBI. There's a lot of people on the ground, and they are the ones that are coordinating the attack. Just today, had a couple more jets, some SU 25 shot down. So basically, the gist is that the Ukrainian military has been shadowing civilian airlines, and Ukrainian / whoever they may be operators on the ground have been shooting down these Su-25s. Excuse me. And this has been going on for a month or so. Two more today. So there are anti-aircraft weapons being shot. They say that they have proof positive this came from the Russian side. The response will be interesting, but none of it matters, Charlie McGrath, because it's about giving Russia an out. Zbigniew Brzezinski had some interesting takeaways, but I thought that Hillary Clinton did the best at laying out what they want and what was accomplished. Now,
let's hear it.
Oh, you want to go?
Hillary, I do.
She breaks it down with Charlie Rose. Here's a little clip.
Let me begin, though, with the news of this day.
Yeah.
A plane shot down over eastern Ukraine. What questions would you be asking at this moment?
Well, the questions I'd be asking is, number one, who could have shot it down? Who had the equipment? It's obviously an anti-aircraft missile. Who could have had the expertise to do
this? Now, this is before we know that it was shot down. I mean, there's no proof that it has been shot down, but everybody knew that it had been shot down. So probably pretty good intel on the ground.
This was last Thursday, correct? The day of.
Now this is the day after when Obama was issuing the executive orders to go after the Russian elite and bringing about sanctions. And so she lays out what needs to happen here, and it's kind of long. I'm not going to play all of it, but she does lay out the battle plan, and I think this is accomplished regardless of what the truth ends up being. And I'll just go out there and throw Syria into the mix. The chemical weapons, it was proven. Okay, number one, the UN did their own investigation, and they came up with no proof as to who did it. That was not one of the scopes of the mission. Okay, yes, chemical weapons were used, but we don't know who. But they just used this story over and over again in that fear of chemical weapons and just saying, well, we believe, insinuating. A great piece done by Paul Craig Roberts talks about the tactic of just, you know, insinuating over and over again that we have proof. And, you know, that and using that to make these sanctions stick. Because Europe's not on board. And she talks about this big problem. Europe is not on board. There are two big energy dealers in the world, and that's Russia and the West. And guess which ones she would like Europe doing business with?
That. Because commercial airlines are big targets, but by the time they got over that part of Ukraine, they should have been high. So it takes some, you know, some planning. And the Ukrainian government has been quick to blame it on terrorists, which is, you know, their name for the Russian insurgents.
Now, this is interesting because she called them insurgents as if they came from Russia and they're not actually Ukrainians. And that might be true. I mean, you know, we saw the Crimea annexation, so I don't put anything past Putin, but
we'll circle around back to that, but completely.
Yeah.
And there does seem to be some growing awareness that it probably had to be Russian insurgents. Now, how we determine that will probably require some forensics, but then if there is evidence pointing in that direction, the equipment had to come from Russia. What more the Russians may or may not have done, we don't know. I read as I was walking in today to talk with you, the Russian stock market has dropped. There is a great deal of concern.
That's not true. Actually, the Russian stock market did just fine. This is what they would like. The 10-year yield on ruble bonds was up 9 BPS to 8.98%. Gold rose.
They felt no economic effect from the announcement from the announced sanctions that happened the day before the shootdown and or the shootdown itself.
IBM, Russia seeks to cut dependence on IBM, Microsoft amid sanctions. So, you know, it's hurting countries and it's hurting companies, but it's not really hurting Russia. And this is the whole line, is that Russia's isolating themselves. If you're with China and China thinks that what you're doing is okay and you got a new trading partner, you're creating a new economy and you're creating new demand.
Look, first, you know, I said I want to – what was the topic I want to circle back to?
the Russian insurgent.
I think you would be naive if you followed this story, since the new CIA-funded, quasi-government agency-funded color finger revolution of months and months ago, and the toppling of a legitimately was that an accident, or was that kind of a cool thing?
It wasn't really a cool thing, I don't think. No, producer Craig said there's no audio to the live stream, so I'm just trying to...
Yeah, well, he said there was after I said, we good? And I said, now? And he said, yes. Producer Craig, give me the lowdown in Skype here. Can you hear us on the live feed?
Oh, yeah, that was 13 minutes ago. Okay, maybe... All right, I'm reading old stuff.
Yeah, I'm monitoring the new. I'm monitoring the new while you're playing the evil one, Hillary Clinton. But so now I don't know if I should spew this out, because I don't know if are we live?
Are we live?
Live. Question mark. Exclamation point.
It are. I mean, we're recording it. I mean, regardless of whether or not people out there.
Let's keep going. If you're in the chat and you can hear us, wonderful. If you can't, I'm sorry.
Right.
You're going to have to listen to the – what are you – all right?
No, I said all right.
Oh. So if you've been following the situation in Ukraine and the Crimea and, you know, what's going on with Russia, then anything that's happening now, including the downing of two Su-25s, is absolutely commonplace. Now – is Russia supporting the rebels? I think you'd have to be naive. I hear noise. Okay, I don't know what that means, Craig. Does that mean voices or us? Or just
static? See, we're coming through on this thing. It's just, I don't know.
Are you hearing us?
Craig's not. No, I'm going to just cancel this. We'll upload it later.
All right. I apologize to the folks live in chat. Anyway, so, you know, Russia has the notion that they're supplying weaponry and supplying technology and assistance, you'd have to be naive not to believe that that's true. But you'd also have to be completely naive to not believe that there is a very sizable percentage of Ukrainians who are not happy with Poroshenko being installed as the Western-backed puppet president of Ukraine. If you know the Ukraine story even peripherally, you realize that this government that's in here now, is 100% put there by the Central Intelligence Agency. The people of Ukraine know this, right? We don't know it because most people aren't paying attention to this story. So the notion that Russia is supplying weapons and supplying training to Ukrainians, I almost guarantee that is happening. It is shocking to some people in this country, but if you learn the backstory at all, or if you learn, you know, the amount of money we spent in order to destabilize Ukraine to get him to this point, it isn't surprising at all. Putin
This is turnabout's fair play. I mean, the United States is dumping military weapons. They're not admitting it yet, but by the time you listen to this podcast in a few weeks, they're already going to be, you know, shipping this, and we're going to find out that it happened 2 years
ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
I'm upset with it. That's the MO. I mean, that's what happened in Syria. And nobody's even noticing the fact that we have ISIS or IS, the Islamic State, whatever, you know, that it's actually 100% a CIA operation attacking Christians. I mean, we have a Christian genocide that's unreported happening in the Middle East. In Syria, they have taken over almost 40% of oil production. So, and now you have Kurdistan coming to fruition. So, I mean, there's just so many huge things. And let's not forget that just a few months ago, it was peaceful in Ukraine. Now you have – it's a freaking war zone.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of peace and prosperity the United States, CIA, the State Department brings people. So, you know, pardon me for not supporting the democracy that has been installed. You know, which is just such a...
Yeah, bullshit is what it is. What's happening inside of Ukraine right now, including the Malaysian airliner that has killed 298 people by it being down one way or the other. You know, Doug had alluded earlier that it was from a missile, and I agree that it was, but I'm not even 100% sure. I'm not convinced that it was from a Buk missile system. I'm not.
I know about Whiskey. I mean, we have nothing to go on. You and I are not there on the ground. We don't have the friends.
No,
we have
you know what I have to go on? I have to go on a Microsoft Paint image. In fact, I'm so convinced that this is all just propaganda. I watched CNN. I've been watching the coverage from the establishment media obsessively. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe. The last 72 hours, every free moment has been in front of the TV to see the coverage that's being presented to us. And one of the big things they have is a map. And the map shows where they think the missile came from, where the plane was, where it went down. And it is so amateurish at best that I wanted to see how long it would take me to create the exact same kind of proof. And Craig, please feel free to post that map I sent you on Doomcast. But it took me all of 5 minutes to create the exact same evidence that is being presented to us to escalate hostilities with arguably the second most powerful military nation on this planet. Certainly, they have enough nuclear weapons to, not only obliterate the United States, but to basically obliterate this planet. And we're supposed to believe, after the years and years and years of lies, after the years of weapons of mass destruction, Syria used chemical weapons on its own people, we're going to liberate and free and spread democracy around the world. After all the lies and all the death and all the turmoil, we're supposed to believe this cartoonish-like evidence that is presented to us by Obama, by the Secretary of State, by the mainstream establishment media. It's offensive. It's offensive to me, Doug.
I can tell. You're very animated about it. Yeah, I don't like being lied to either, but I don't watch the mainstream media, and I don't think that a lot of people even care or buying it, and that's why they've been focusing on it so much, because this is an obvious false flag. I mean, point blank.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, there's no way that this thing went up without the people on the ground absolutely knowing, and the fact that the story has changed, and now we have some alleged Ukrainian defector. I mean, it's perfect.
You know, it, within 20 minutes of the downing, you had the government in Kiev. Oh, hey, we got these audio tapes.
We made last night.
Yeah,
and here you go. I mean, I don't even think I'm going to pour through all the forensics because I want to go back to Hillary here for a moment because I do believe that the end result ultimately will not matter, that this is only a short-term fix to get these sanctions through, to get them to stick, because Russia has Europe. Europe and Russia are intertwined, and the only way to break that, and Hillary talks about that, is through the economy and through these energy agreements.
That not only was a civilian plane shot down, but what this means about the continuing conflict in eastern Ukraine and the role that Russia is playing.
So what does the United States do if there is a clear indication and clear evidence that it was Russian separatists and perhaps using weapons from Russia?
I think that the first question is, what does Europe do? I think the United States is very clear in both its criticism of Russia and Putin, its support for Poroshenko and the new Ukrainian government, and there has just been a new round of sanctions that President Obama himself has announced. As you know, the Europeans have tried
to put it on Obama, by the way. He came up with these sanctions as if, you know, Obama said, you know, this guy over here, Igor, you're going to do whatever. He's the guy we should sanction. I love that because she's putting it on him. I mean, there's just so many subtle nuances to what
they
said.
You know, your analysis is right on the money. What they're trying desperately to do, and regardless, you know, Doug, you and I can spend hours playing out the scenarios surrounding this downed airliner. Was it accidental? Was it on purpose? If it was accidental, could it have been the Russians? Could it have been the separatists? Could it have been the Ukrainians? Inevitably, it is so convenient to take a Europe that was absolutely not on board with any financial sanctions to Russia. And that wasn't – that isn't something that a couple of guys who own independent media websites are talking about. That is an absolute fact. The European powers that be have absolute dependence on their energy for Russia. So this tough talk coming out of the State Department, coming out of this administration about slapping harder, more difficult sanctions onto Russia, it was not playing well in Western Europe. And even with the downing of this airliner, it still isn't playing well. And there's a really important reason for this. Angela Merkel knows. She knows for an absolute fact, as all of you will in about 30 seconds, that Germany relies on Russia for 40% of its energy. And that translates into, you know, probably 90% of their economy. They have to have this energy flow from Russia in order to have a vibrant economy. And Germany is the most vibrant economy inside of Europe.
So how do you wean them off? How do you get them to go with Shell? Shell's the one that spent $5 billion in Ukraine. How do you get some good old boys in there? How do you get BP back in there? How do you
Ukraine or how to get Western energy into Europe?
No, getting the Europeans to pay more for the development.
Well, you make it scary, and if you do business with Ukraine, buy your gas, it's evil, and you're empowering
the push now is 6 days after the downing of this aircraft. You know, as a matter of fact, I was monitoring some establishment media before the program, and I heard on three different networks the same as diatribe, which is we need to lift the export ban in the United States so we can offset any energy losses via Russia to Western Europe. So, Doug, you nailed it. She's out pimping the day of it or the day after it, the oil company's interest to Europe from the United States, these Western energy companies, to go in there and fulfill the needs of the people of Europe as they band together and cut off Russia because of the downing of MH17. And so looking at the outcome, whatever the outcome is going to be, but looking at what's being presented to us now, if you were completely apolitical, ageopolitical, and you had no interest whatsoever in politics, and looking at the players and the actors and how this is being positioned right now, the downing of this aircraft, man, oh, man, I mean, it is the absolute worst thing that could have ever happened for the separatists inside of eastern Ukraine, and the best thing that could have ever happened for individuals like Hillary Clinton, like John Kerry, like Barack Obama, like the special interest that funds these individuals. This is the best thing that could have ever happened to them in a world that wasn't buying their line of bullcrap. To convince Western Europe to come on board with these more harsh sanctions, this kind of event needed to happen. So, to me, that is the biggest reason this smells of ultimate false flag, and 300 people are dead because of it right now.
Absolutely. You want to... This is the security theater. I think this is a good segue into some other stuff. I think that we've beaten a dead horse. I mean, the analysis is that regardless of what happens, because you can't trust the Ukrainians either. I mean, they're over there shooting down planes left and right. So,
the separatists or which ones?
Well, somebody's shooting down a bunch of planes. And
that's the other thing that kind of cracks me up because. Even tonight on Aaron Burnett on CNN is talking about these Su-25s that are shot down today. Two of them. Oh, look at two more.
Well, you know what? They're piling on. They're like, okay, this is really stink to high heaven. We need to just have like lots of these things falling out of the sky. How do we know that they don't just somebody just doesn't have a bomb on this thing?
Listen. The Russian separatists for months and months on end, right? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know every single downed aircraft I've heard about and looked into. And this is probably these two Su-25s that went down. My estimation is this is between the 15th and the 20th aircraft, be it helicopter, military transport aircraft, or fighter jet, that has been shot down by these separatists. And all of them, at least, except for one jet fighter that they claimed was at 26,000 feet, before the Malaysian airliner went down. But except for that one, all of them have been in range of these shoulder-fire anti-aircraft weapons, which the range is about 20,000 feet. So the Russian separatist shooting down two today or since the downing of MH17, that's nothing new. That's not news. This is what they've been doing. They've been fighting a war. The news is this. The Russian separatists have not targeted civilians They've not brought down a civilian aircraft. They've not threatened a civilian area. And to my note, to my understanding, and as far as my research has found, they've not killed one civilian outside of, the only deaths that have been attributed to the Russian separatists have been Ukrainian military personnel or Ukrainian assets, right? The only question at this point is, did they shoot down MH17? Now, I can say this also with a complete assurity. The government in Kiev has killed over 250 civilians prosecuting this is since the ceasefire, prosecuting this war against the separatists in eastern Ukraine. So,
the national monitors. I mean, and if the UN saying that you have a humanitarian crisis, you probably do, because they like to downplay things to keep countries giving them money ultimately. But it's pretty ridiculous. And I think that the fact that they've had to pile on and that the media is really pushing this is just. And I've said this before, and it brings me back to what we said when this first started escalating right after the Maidan, and that is, this is about making NATO relevant again. This is about isolating Russia. This is about getting Europe scared and getting them to chip in some money and getting U.S. companies in there to help do this. It's part of the regime change playbook that the U.S. has been using for the last 60 years. Why? Because it's effective. It's the same playbook. I don't know. I have to give it to you.
You know what, Ben? You know from doing Doomcast and talking to you on this program and off, that the Ukrainian situation has been something I've been called almost, if you will, to cover this thing and to talk about it. And unfortunately, to some people, I've even got, comments to this effect, that a lot of my videos over the last couple months have been just dominated on Ukraine and what's going on there. And I'm so convinced that this divisive situation in Ukraine is going to spell disaster for the people of this country that I feel compelled to keep talking about it. When we talk about more troops going to Poland, when we talk about these former satellite Soviet states that are joining NATO or having a NATO presence, it pushes me more and more to believe that we're switching away from the Middle East and North Africa, and we're switching to Eastern Europe as the next battleground. And NATO has said as much, that this is where we need to be concerned. This is where we need to put our efforts today. In fact, when the Pentagon announced, it's well known that the CIA and other intelligence agencies are operating inside of Ukraine. But when today the Pentagon came out and talked about how they're sending military advisors to that location, it points to more and more escalation of violence and tension with Russia in the Middle East. And Russia is not Syria. It's not Iraq. We were sold this largest, at that point in time in 2003, capability of Iraq, and there's still military significance even after the 91 war. Look, Russia is a player, and arguably a player that can inflict extreme damage, even conventionally, on United States forces or NATO forces. So it's a situation that just, compels me to keep covering it and become more and more doomy as we watch this thing develop.
Well, yeah. Ultimately, what's going to happen is that it's either going to end in a stalemate where you ultimately have some kind of two-state solution. Because this is what's being created. It's an externally funded, like I guess most are, but externally funded and externally operated civil war. It's using the current regime, which has a lot of the same old people. I mean, the U.S. has been working this angle for quite a while, and the division in parliament so that they could run through all of the legislation, which nobody even has gone back and looked at. The constitutionality of any of the things that are happening there, the legal framework, it's a complete joke. This whole thing is just marred in, absolute illegality. So what I was going to is Vladimir Putin. At least when he took over Crimea,
they made a commemorative coin with his head on it. You know, that's a good way to solidify the deal, to make sure you get the commemorative coin, you get the plates, you need those collector's plates, T-shirts. That's one of the things that just kind of takes me back to what I really believe, and that is that Vladimir Putin, who's good buddies with Henry Kissinger, playing this out, and they're using this to reindustrialize and isolate the oligarchs and to bring more power and concentration away from Europe and to usurp more sovereignty. I really believe that that's ultimately what's happening. I don't believe that Vladimir Putin is a legitimate foe. I think that he's definitely not a useful idiot, but he's useful. He's making last year, okay, the NATO was, you know, brushing dust off of the, you know, 1945 radars, you know, that they have on these French ships. Now things are changing, and they're like, well, we need trillions of dollars to keep you safe from Vladimir Putin. And that's good for Putin, too, because at the end of the day, the sanctions against these military providers, these military companies, these sanctions are creating new markets because ultimately the demand goes up, and so it creates new avenues away from the dollar. It creates, I think, more uses for this. It just diversifies, rather, and makes the ruble and the new BRIC bank, and that's the other half of this that's totally out of the picture, and that is that Brazil, Russia, India, and China have just created their own little IMF. And it's interestingly that as soon as they had the BRIC meeting, the big BRIC meeting, that voila, we have international crises that Putin is supporting breaking out. But he's been a pretty cool character. I don't know if you've been keeping up with any of his small talk that he's been putting out there.
Absolutely, tons of it. And I think it's interesting because what I've seen happen over the last 48 hours, for sure, now the conversation is somewhat switching to energy dependence on Russia from Europe. That is switching a little bit. Since some of these corpses are starting to return home, that coverage is going to there. But they are painting Russia prior to this. You know, like I'm talking maybe a day, 2 days ago, they're painting this picture of the reestablishment of the Cold War, and this was all over the establishment media. The question basically asked, and it's so, Doug, it is so uncanny, and I know you understand this, but maybe a lot of the listeners don't. When you channel surf between MSNBC, CNN, Fox, you name it, fill in the blank, and you start hearing the same exact question over and over again being asked to the same exact experts over and over again, understand that's not just happenstance. There isn't just 10 experts that can go around to 20 different news outlets and spread the exact same story. It's happening for a reason. And, a day ago, 2 days ago, the narrative was, are we seeing tensions as high as you've ever seen them since the Cold War? And the answer by every so-called, quote, expert was absolutely yes. So I think you're right. I think we're seeing, they're using Putin, and Putin is using this situation in the same way to his advantage. What you said earlier was he's not an idiot, I think is 100% accurate. You know, he's former KGB. He understands the propaganda game better than anybody, and he understands what's going on in the United States right now. It's purely 100% propaganda, and he's doing his own propaganda to counter that. And now you even see our networks. You never heard, basically never, unless they had a defector or somebody that left their organization, you would never hear our establishment media talk about RT. But in the last 24, 48 hours, you've heard them nonstop talking about, this RT member left, that RT member left.
I want to talk about that, but that's the propaganda
arm of it. But I want to talk about the BRICS real quickly because you said it. All wars are bankers' wars, and of course,
central banker was not denied.
By creating their own multilateral financial institutions, the BRICS emerging market powers are shaking up global economic governance, but remain far from dismantling the post-war system dominated by the West. This is what came of it, Yahoo article, BRICS shake up global economic architecture, and they try to play it down a little bit for the Western investors. One, the meeting started the second cycle of BRICS summits. This time it focused on sustainable solutions for inclusive growth. That's just developing, giving money to corporations and usually friends, converts common interest in broadening multi-dimensional cooperation. Now, the new development bank, the NDB, is going to be based in Shanghai. It's going to initially have a currency pool of $100 billion, which will help BRIC countries get this. And I don't know what it's going to be in. Hold on. This is
what currency it's going to be in?
Yeah. I would imagine it's going to be I should have highlighted that. I'm reading this huge article.
Not yuan.
Maybe yuan, remember one of those. It's good for one of those, or maybe they're just going to have a pool of cash and use that. I guess maybe divvy it out in the domestic. It's $100 billion U.S. So maybe they're just taking some of the extra cash that China has from, you know, the trillions of dollars we've given them. Maybe they're buying back, and they're like, yeah, we'll put into your little $100 billion pool, whatever. Other documents, including the Memorandum of Understanding and Cooperation among BRICS, Export Credit and Guarantee, so they can give credit. This is going to give them a rating system, okay? No more S&P downgrading me every time Barack Obama opens his mouth and calls Vladimir Putin nanny. Let's see. It's going to have an interbank mechanism with new channels of support between the five countries. So this is getting out of the SWIFT system, getting into their own. And they've got a whole roadmap there. It's pretty wild stuff. But, okay, you were talking about propaganda, and I got one to outdo everybody. You know who's the king of propaganda? Netanyahu, okay, the Israeli prime minister.
Oh, my God. Are we jumping into Gaza?
No. We're just jumping into his propaganda for a moment we're touching on Gaza and why he's talking, but he's the guy that had the red bomb, and everybody laughed about
the red
bomb.
The red line.
Yeah, the red line. He had the bomb pictures, and he brings his own cheesy PowerPoints and his comb over to scare people. Well, anyway.
The UN.
Yes, this is what people that read the London Telegraph across the pond got a couple mornings ago on the 20th. Claim, donkey suicide bomb stopped by Israeli troops in Gaza. So this is like a C4 pinata. Hamas militants sent a donkey laden with explosives on a suicide mission in one of, maybe a Trojan horse, in one of the most unconventional tactics yet seen in the fighting in Gaza. The Israeli army has said troops said they were forced to open fire on the animal, blowing it up as it approached their position in the southern city of Rafah near the Egyptian border, which is pretty odd. You know, some guy's just walking up with a donkey. Was it a dead donkey they're rolling it like a Trojan horse? Oh, they use this donkey as a human shield or as an animal shield. Said Mayor Ari Sinclair.
What do you think? And I guess since we're jumping into Gaza, and I'm looking at the clock here, we're already 40 minutes into it, or 48, talking on Ukraine. And, you know, you and I touched a little bit because the ground incursion was going on last Doomcast, and now it's just deep, deep into it, and there's just...
You can't even fly in. I mean, if you think...
Yeah, there's a shitload of dead Palestinians. There's dead Israelis in this. Doug, I caught grief over this week from a listener on my YouTube channel that I'm not more critical of Israel and what's going on in Gaza. And, you know, to be honest, right, you're going to get the honest side of everything from me and Doug on Doomcast here. To be honest with you, there's part of me that sees the point of Netanyahu, that sees the point of Israel. Where, you know, but there's also, you know, understand this. There's a big part of me that jumps on board the Palestinian bandwagon. You know, they're trapped in these little areas. I think their leaders are absolutely despicable.
That's a meme that, you know, they elected Hamas, so they deserve what they get.
I don't believe that.
You know, I don't even, I mean, how do you even know? And if you look into the history of Hamas, it actually originates from Mossad. Put up a great piece from Consortium News just recently highlighting that. And so the ties back to Israeli banking. And it only makes sense, you know, if you want to control the other guy, just control, you know, make sure that you're funding your enemy. You're funding
What I'm sick over is, you know, the report of, what is it up now, as of the year, the 23rd, is that what we are?
Yeah. 600 dead, stadiums, hospitals. I mean, you know, it's gotten so bad that, and this is just how brash, and they just don't care. Even the quote-unquote Jewish media, some people would call it, is saying, look, this is horrible. I mean, the United Nations today, okay, I mean, it's different. I think it's a lot different. I think people are really tired of it. It may have run its course, and it might be time for a new plan, but Israel may be guilty of war crimes, the UN human rights chief said. You know, the fact that you have a lot of people in the State Department that are, you know, anti-Putin, but they're now, you know, throwing Israel into that bandwagon. Of course, they have lots of power, and I'm not trying to diminish the power that they still have, but
right.
Definitely getting a lot more heat, you know, and I don't think that she can really defend the actions, but this is nothing new. This is what Israel does, and they waited till the opportune time where the ISIS crisis to go ahead and lob some missiles into Syria.
And how convenient that MH17 came out on the day of, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as they're crossing the border.
Yes, you know. The U.S. media is more interested with 200, you know, plus civilians being killed in Ukraine than they are 600 dead civilians that are trapped in a cage being targeted by, you know, one of the most premier nuclear powers in the world. It's not at least when it comes to urban fighting, nobody has the apparatus, spy apparatus, complete militarized culture. You talk about gun culture in this country. Everyone carries a gun in Israel.
Yeah.
And,
why wouldn't they? Because there's billions and billions and billions of taxpayer dollars going there every single year.
They have to. Well, you know, I mean, it sucks for them too because you're living under, you know, hellfire. And fortunately, you know, just like that little video, This Land Is Mine, people from the Canaanites to the Knights Templar, the Christians, the British, on and on and on, have fought and have, you know, the meme last week, I want to thank Craig for that, was, you know, God cannot be your real estate broker. That's the big problem that you have there. And Israel is only using this. I don't believe any of these people have a God-filled bone in their bodies.
You mean as far as the leadership goes? I agree with that, too.
Yeah, this is all about real estate, gas.
Yeah. I agree with that on both sides. I agree that Hamas is using, you know, their religion in order to, you know, to keep the people in their homes and to go ahead and let it be okay for missile batteries to be stationed outside of hospitals and schools and that kind of thing. And I think Netanyahu and the upper echelon of power in Israel is the exact same way. They're concerned about, you know, first of all, they'll quote scripture, they'll quote, you know, their eminent domain over that region of the world, and they'll think it's absolutely fine that they go in and just, you know, murder the hell out of hundreds and hundreds of people and claim national sovereignty or national independence or freedom. It's just a really, really, as a Christian, it's really hard for me to see what's happening there in the name of the Torah and back it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but it's been going on since Christ was around, since, you know, 2014 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's a new problem. I'm saying that I have to rationalize it as
well,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that, you know.
I guess my point is this. I think there's evil actors on both sides. I've spoken to Palestinians, and I've spoken to people of Israel, right? And they're just people. They're like you and me. And honest to God, they would get along if it wasn't for this divide that has been, you know, created for them by their, air quote, leadership.
And, on both sides. I mean, you know, everybody's guilty. Mm-hmm. Two-state solution, that's not going to work. Say, if
exactly.
You go to our border, if you have one side that's poor and treated unfairly in the international community and living in squalor and living in abject poverty for the most part, at least, you know, 90% of the population, and then on the other side, a well-funded, I mean, completely subsidized state that is a high-tech police state that pretty much kills with impunity and with the media and the evangelicals on their side, then, yeah, it's not going to probably work out in the long term. It's going to be a problem until you say,
it's
okay.
It's going to be an ass-whooping. Yeah,
it's just like East and West Berlin.
Wow. Long, long, long information. Great, 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 great information, however. And I got to say, greetings to all our beloved BTR family, and welcome to another Tuesday edition. Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. As you know, Mr. Talk won't be joining us today. However, Mr. Talk will be back in return on August 4th, which happens to be next Monday. This is Cloud Nation broadcasting live and direct. And today is Talk to Me Wednesday, as I said before. What you guys were just listening to was a couple sound bites from Charlie McGrath and Doug Owen of Doomcast. We're going to continue to move on into the airlines, breaking it up into a variety of different things. Yes, we're going to do some open discussion today, and we will cover Fearonomics, how to profit off of fear and propaganda. That's what we've been listening to so far. So if you got something on your mind you want to call in and chime in, you know the number. Give us a call, press 1 if you want to talk. You will be screening call, so when I come to you and ask you who you are, if you give me some crazy name or something like that, we will not hesitate to hang up on you. And, oh, yeah, this is brought to you by sponsors at audible.com. That's audible.com. We encourage all our listeners who love this show so much to check out the site and utilize audible.com/letstalk. That's audible.com/letstalk when you're making your purchase of any product on audible.com, and that's the way you can support us right here. You know, if you have been paying attention lately to the news lately, there is something fishy going on in our geopolitical arena. Stuff is getting wilder than a Miley Cyrus concert and weirder than a Lady Gaga video. So, you know, the idea that Russia is taking out planes flying over the Ukraine is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, what's happening in the Ukraine, including the Malaysia airplane that was shot down, has everything to do with the military-industrial complex and capitalistic duchery sponsored by Lars Incorporated. You know, so if you listen to Russia has a monopoly on Europe. And as Hillary Clinton said, in order to push more sanctions on Russia and move in on Russia's energy relationship with Europe, America is willing to do whatever it takes. Give me one moment. I'm just getting ready to find out who we have on the line. So I'll be checking, screening them. Give me a second.
Was my friend, you there?
All right, so we have you in the line. You're live now.
Well, I wanted to talk to you in the green room for a moment, but in fact, I'll be discreet then and not mention what I was going to say privately. So,
okay, did you want to share anything regarding the what you heard on the recording, some of the things we're discussing today?
No.
So we're back to the show, as you guys probably know. And I need my music back. So, having technical issues with my chat room, it seems. So I'm refreshing. Don't get alarmed, everyone. Refreshing, getting everything situated. Yes, that was my theme music. I just had to vibe off that for a second. But like I said before, you know, more sanctions are being pushed, as you guys probably have noticed. When you look at the headlines in the news, you know, Germany is obviously one of the most vibrant economies in Europe. And so how do you cut off Russia and take over the energy supply profit game with Europe? To the average onlooker outside, you know, this is clearly not for those who aren't part of the trained eye of students of geopolitics and propaganda. The Malaysian plane being shot down will become the focus point for many, unfortunately, out there. So there's some stuff you guys are missing. We wanted to make sure you guys would see beyond the smoke and the mirrors and the propaganda. So this is just part of the regime change playbook to strike fear in Europe in hopes that U.S. corporations can move in on their consumer territory, just like Gaza. It's no secret. You know, as casual, you know, as usual, like they said, you know, the U.S. media is using Russian adjustment over the crash of a Malaysian airliner in war-torn eastern Ukraine. But the history of U.S. government's deception might be reason to pause and let a careful investigation uncover the facts. You know, it will likely take some time to determine who downed the Malaysian Airlines Boeing 777 over eastern Ukraine on Thursday, killing all 298 people that was on the plane, on board. So initial speculation is that someone with a missile battery mistook the plane as a military aircraft, but the precise motive may be even harder to discern. Now, given the fog of war and the eagerness among the various participants to wage information warfare, there's also the possibility that evidence, especially electronic evidence, might be tampered with to achieve some propaganda victory. As you may know, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko immediately labeled the tragedy a terrorist act, although there was no evidence that anyone intentionally shot down the civilian airline. But Poroshenko and others in the Kyiv government have previously designated the ethnic Russians who are resisting the February 22nd overthrow of elected President Viktor Yanukovych as terrorists. So Poroshenko's language was no surprise at all. And it just goes to show, you know, when you think about some of the nonsense and the propaganda that we hear from separatists, what I call separatist propaganda. I call it separatist propaganda because literally The media will provide whatever your bias, they will feed it. So here's a perfect example. If people want to talk about the racial side of things with Obama, so to speak, as imperfect as a candidate as that guy is, oftentimes people speak ill of that particular president, not because of their disagreement with his policies, because to be honest, if you're a Republican, then the same policies that he's pushing, most of them, are fresh out of the Republican handbook, which is interesting. And if you're a liberal, you may still have an issue with him because he doesn't fit the right here. My personal issue with his policies, personally, I don't agree with some of his policies, just like I didn't agree with Bush's policies. Same puppets, different outfit. Republicans, Democrats, same team, different perception. So you won't hear me on your, you know, talking about what I'm not. I'm not a this, I'm not a that, you know, because that's the tagline people use when they're moving on a direction of showing their bias. When you're not biased of specific things, you don't have to say it. You just speak your mind. It's that simple. And so speaking our minds, there was some interesting thing that came on. I want to hear some people's thoughts on this that falls in line with our discussion regarding Kiev, regarding what's happening in Russia, regarding the back and forth political confrontation we see going on between the U.S. and Russia right now, brought to you by Corporate Incorporated, you know, our favorites. But guess who's back in the news again? The VA. The House has decided to take up $17 billion for a VA overhaul bill, which sounds like good news. However, there's going to be a lot of us who look at this and observe and aren't quick to rush to the enthusiasm, knowing the history of corruption behind those who have really pretty much been put on blast and exposed for the amount of just full-out corruption of those who have been behind Veterans Affairs services. And one would think that out of all the people on the planet, as much as we push and champion in the U.S., our pro-war propaganda, you would think that at least the veterans would receive the services that they deserve, right? You would think that, right? Oh, and by the way, the thoughts, ideas, and things and views expressed on this show is not a direct reflection of the platform, BTR, or the station and the Mr. Talk Show as a whole, but they are isolated expressions, views, points of those who are expressing themselves on that platform. Just want to throw that in there for Trolls Incorporated, just in case they wanted to know. So, you know, the House could vote on a $17 billion bill, is what they've been working on, with the Senate vote expected soon after, as many of the lawmakers rush to complete their work before leaving town this weekend for a five-week recess. Now, the measure unveiled Monday by the chairman of the House and the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee is intended help veterans avoid long waits for health care, hire more doctors and nurses to treat them, and make it easier to fire senior executives at the Veterans Affairs Department. Now, the House vote could come just one day after the Senate confirmed former Procter & Gamble CEO Robert McDonnell to lead the sprawling agency, which provides health care to nearly 9 million enrolled veterans and disability compensation to nearly about 4 million veterans. Now, I think one of the interesting things to note about what's happening regarding the veteran situation, and that's what it's become a situation because, as I said, you would think with all the pro-war propaganda that the veterans would be taken care of, right? And that just hasn't been the case at all. And so for many, many would say that it's about time that this option has even been brought forth. It's about time that the bill be placed on the floor, because if you're going to push the propaganda, if you're going to push the pro-war propaganda, you have to at least take care of those people in whom you are putting on your front lines, you would think, right? At least that's what I thought. So, like I said, the House and the Senate negotiators announced Monday that they have reached a compromise on a $7 billion emergency spending bill to begin reforming the troubled Veterans Affairs health care system. Now, the House Senate negotiators, after announcing it, capping weeks of negotiation that appeared headed to another impasse before the weekend. The deal was widely lauded through some observers said it might not go far enough in restructuring the troubled agency. Now, one of the interesting things about what's been going on, what's happened, if you ask me, before I jump in further, I don't think that they went far enough. And if you want to chime in on what's going on with the veterans, or you want to talk about Gaza, or you want to talk about what's happening with Russia, you know, these are some of the things that we brought up so far today. You know, you could chime in at any point, and we can, you know, we'll open up the mics for you. So, once again, press button number one. And anytime, you know, you can join in on the discussion and let me know what you think about what you've heard so far. So, speaking again about the, you know, regarding the veterans, because we want to talk about the veterans, the VA, and what's happening in the court system as we speak regarding our veterans. But there's some other things that's happening around the world, too, that we're going to hop into. So we opened up talking about Gaza, talking about Russia, talking about the plane that was shot down. And, yeah, I know the sound bites were a little long, but it was good information, good information. So I'm letting the first call in, 504. Your mic is open. Who are we speaking with?
N.O. Lowe.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
What's being said about Gaza?
Well, from the recording, it was a lot. There was a lot of things covered regarding Gaza, but it was most of the stuff dealing with Gaza was really differentiating the similarities between Hamas and Israel. How you have two people who are fighting for a variety of different reasons, and you have propaganda on both sides pushing a lot of the nonsense that's taking place as we speak, and also how the corporations here help to sponsor the propaganda in Gaza, obviously because of the minerals, obviously because of the oil, and it's really the same old you know, horse and pony show that we see, you know, regurgitated over and over again, with U.S. corporations incorporated peddling propaganda mill on a consistent basis. Wherever you look, wherever you turn, it's, you just have to, all you have to do is find a thread and find out what corporation has vested interest in that particular piece of propaganda, and look beyond, you know, the mainstream media's propaganda pushing that sounds like a bunch of puppets repeating the same old bits and pieces of information.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well,
I don't try to sum it up. That was
right.
Just try to sum
right.
it up because it was a lot of information.
All right, I understand, and I'm, like I said, as far as I don't understand how this whole thing is happening, because the only thing I can base or wage my point of view from is from the Bible. And the people that's in the land right now, the things that's prophesied according to the scripture is not going according to the people that's in the land right now. Because the people in the land right now, in Ashdod, if you will, or Israel, the people in that country, they have nothing but chaos and confusion going on. And the Bible says that that won't be happening once the people are put place back in the land, right? I don't know if you know the Bible at all or whatever, but I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, I have some, I have a little bit of insight on it. And, you know, when I look at, you know, the that particular text, and I look at a lot of the stuff happening on, you know, it's, for me, most of what we see is man motivated. So it's stuff that's geared towards the ideas of a variety of different corporations and individuals. And so I see a lot of people, like some of the people on the soundbite said, you have a lot of these people who hang on to first a variety of different faith beliefs and try to use that as the perception, the mask that they wear. But in politics, these people are wearing masks. None of them, like they said, have a God-fearing body in them, bone in them. So I don't think, you know, a lot of these people who talk about their views on faith, I really don't think that's the angle that they're coming from. I really think it's more about their personalized greed and their personal interest that's really motivating a variety of these wars, and for years, you can look at history. Religion has been used by so many people as a tool for their political perspective. Not so much a true vested interest in that area of faith. So you know, that I think that's often a challenge when it comes to listening. Whether you're listening to the Republicans or the Democrats, you know, all these people claim a lot of stuff. And, you know, I feel like people, all when I hear politicians open their mouth, all I hear is money popping out and change falling, because that's really who they're all invested in. They're really invested in commerce.
Absolutely.
And capital, and capitalism. That's it, and that's worldwide. No matter if they call themselves socialists or whatever they call themselves, everybody has become capitalist.
I agree with that last part, but the Bible doesn't speak of a quote-unquote religion in the first place. It speaks of a heritage.
Exactly.
And that's the foolishness of man believing that, okay, well, we can be Baptist, we can be Catholic, we can be Christian, whatever that is. We can be all of these things, but the Bible doesn't speak any of that. And like I said, when you go to talking about the Gaza Strip, which is actually mentioned in the scriptures, then you have to bring up the other prophecies that say, okay, well, once the people are placed back in the land, the world will study war no more. There will be no more war. There will be no confusion nor conflict. And since those bastards, and I'm quoting the Bible, have been placed in that land, there has been nothing but confusion and conflict. So we would have to actually look at that and say, hey, there must be something going on wrong here. How can you be in the Holy Land and have a gay pride celebration? That's what they do. That's what they've had. So it's a conflict of interest there. I mean, people won't put the one with the other, but to sit down and listen to some politician talk all day long, and he hasn't done anything but flatter people, or the way he looks. We've ran with the way he looked and the fact that he's articulate enough to be, quote-unquote, black and can have a position like that. So let's just give him a try. Yeah, he looks like me, so I think he'll be good for the spot. We haven't had one of those, so let's get one. It's not always in
Hello.
The best interest of the people.
Hello. Uh-oh. Can I speak?
Not always in the best interest of the people. So, well, like I said, Maze, would you stop?
You don't talk long enough. And I've been on hold. So now I'm not on hold anymore. Can I speak when you get finished since it's taking you such a long time?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me finish what I have to say since you was gone. Since they haven't had one of us, let's pay attention to details. We have had one of those before. His name was John Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since we so upset about what the color or what this man looked like, got nothing to do with the politics of what's going on around Israel.
Already.
And when I talk about the Gaza Strip, we talk about Gaza, and we want to talk about what's happening over there in Russia, ain't got nothing to do with the United States of America, because what has Russia got to do with what's going on? Europeans got something to do with what's going on over there, not America. Shouldn't say nothing about it. That's between Putin
all
and those people over there, not America.
All these people are the same people. They if they weren't, then let's think about it. During World War II, why didn't they go and bomb Germany? They're all the same people. They all related some kind of way.
That's what they're the ones that's over in Israel. That's where they came from
right.
Over there in Russia. That's not their homeland. They was put there. And Palestine will always be Palestine, and also as it's always said. But what we're looking at now, and then you get information, it depends on what the person that's putting the information out. And if you're looking at it with your own eyes, and you're looking at somebody else's news from somewhere else besides here, you're going to see a different story. But what I say, when that plane was shot down, not an American citizen was on a dual citizenship. Those dual citizenship people get out this country, leave this country alone, and go on and make up their mind which one they want to be in and pledge to which flag, the flag over there or the flag over here. And you push some of those illegals out here, you'll see America doing better because you're standing in the way of two countries and you're keeping up hell in two countries.
This is all
And that ain't got nothing to do with nobody's color of their face or who's president or nothing else.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you a question, man.
I just want to ask you a question because I just want to make sure I have the proper understanding. So are you saying that those who may migrate in, for example, are you considering those who migrate in or even have a dual citizenship, are you considering them to be problematic for the United States?
Is that what
you're saying?
Yes, they're playing the role.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, because you look at the mayor, ex-mayor of New York City. Where was he at? Over there in Israel. Wasn't he? So what business he got over there? He's supposed to be in America, working in America. But he over there in Putin. And every time you see him, whose channel you see him on? Like he runs the U.S., not the American people. We give them money. But what they're doing, we've told them to stop, and they're the only friend that they got. But as we said, they're going to always be our friend. Why? When you're wrong.
Well, see, you have everything twisted and turned right now when you say our.
Well, it's just, as I'm speaking, I am an American citizen. I don't have a dual citizenship. So that's what I mean when I say we and I.
Well,
I'm in
I don't have a thing to do with the, I don't have nothing to do with
I'm in the land of my captivity.
And,
I didn't
and,
have to
and,
come.
And what we see, we don't have nothing to do with it. Ain't got nothing to do with us. But we always in the mix of it, getting upset about it and looking at the wrong people. That's not who, causing you the same problem in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this
so
loosely.
So pay attention to detail and you'll see what's wrong.
I'll say this loosely, and I mean it. These white people can do what the hell they want to. I really don't care. And the reason why I say this is because no matter who you put in those positions, it's going to be somebody behind them that's going to tell them what to do. So I really don't care. So whether it's Putin and this person or that person, hey, y'all do whatever y'all going to do. Tear this place apart. It's fine with me. It's all fine with me. Everything was, you know, hunky-dory as long as the economy was terrible and there was a white face that was pushing the economy. And now there's a black face, and oh, it's worse than it ever have been. So all in all, hey, you white people, this is your kingdom. Enjoy it. Tear it up. Build it. Whatever you want to do. I don't care. So I just live here. I go to work. I take care of my family, everything else. To hell with it. No matter to me. So they
that's
can,
what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want to. I mean,
they don't belong to parties. They don't belong to organizations. They just sit back and look and watch, and then they form their own opinion of what they see.
What are parties, organizations, and marches going to do?
I don't
parties,
know.
Organizations. Right. Parties, organizations, and marches, what are they going to do?
Because how can you sit up and tell Putin what to do, and then you got another country doing the same thing, but you're not saying nothing to them?
Oh, well, yeah, we
and
we
you
know
don't
these
even have a fist in the fight in the one where Putin is. And Putin
right.
don't care because Putin don't like them. He don't like them either. And you never see them having a conversation with each other. Nothing having a conversation with them. But you got this media that think that it's supposed to snow you and you're supposed to believe everything that come out of their mouth. I do not.
You're not supposed to either.
They're too scared to talk too. Because I guess because they want to live. Because some people die when they want to do right. And sometimes you got to do whatever you can do to get back and help others in the best way you can in order to live. But when you're dead, everybody come and want to mourn over you and stuff because you're dead. Didn't want to stand up with you when you was alive and trying to help, but once they kill you, then you got something to say you want to have a day for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's operated.
Well, I asked earlier
the details, as I always say.
I asked earlier with the moderator, I asked, so if it's prophetic that the people would be back in the land and there would be no war, there's still war, so that's not prophetic, so I don't understand why there's such a big problem in Gaza right now. If you put the people, the EU, put the people back in the land because they say, hey, these are the people and they're displaced and they should be in their country because they are, quote-unquote, God's people. And if that's the case, and the Bible says that God's people will go back into their land and there will be no war anymore, how is there war now? How has there been nothing but war in that region?
But, no, some people are called them, they call themselves not Israel, they're Israelites. They are on the land. Nobody's focusing on those people that was put out in the desert that came from here and went back home. They don't even know what's happening to them. They don't even know what's happening to them.
Oh, you're talking about Ben-Ami. Yeah. The thing about Ben-Ami is, well, I want to say that's his name. The thing is this. The people, that guy went over and they put him in an area, you were right, in the desert. That was the worst part you could find. And the thing about that is they would only get health care and resources if they agreed to join the military and fight against the Palestinians. That's why they were allowed to come over there and build up and were given the worst places to live. That's the only reason. And if they didn't, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
You didn't have to call in because you heard my voice.
I just said, how you doing?
Oh,
I'm good. Hey, Mr. Beezer, how are you doing? It's been a while.
All right. I mean, I just said, how you doing? But I'm listening to you speak, and I was wondering if you thought that when geopolitical decisions are made, that were made in like 1948, or maybe the decisions were made in before 1948 to put these Ashkenazi Khazar so-called Jews.
Ooh.
Well, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that well. Do you think that that has to work in concordance with what's in the Bible? Because I don't think the people that made those decisions in order to make that happen had the Bible in mind.
Actually, I do, and I'll tell you why. You have to have an apocrypha to understand. The reason being is because they took our records and they read our records, and they know exactly what would happen to us. And so in the situation that we're in right now, we didn't keep our end of the promise, a.k.a. keep the commandments, and so we went into slavery, and another people would take our land, and as I quoted before, a bastard would reside in Ashdod. Ashdod is a term that was used for Jerusalem or Israel, if you will. And so, yes, I believe that the Bible holds the key to all of it. Like I said, they were supposedly using Bible prophecy to place those people in the land in the first place, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In 1948, they were saying it's prophecy. The Jews are going back into the land.
That's what they were saying. That's maybe what was put forward to appeal to people's religious sensibilities, but I really think they were placing an entity that would be loyal, that would be right there in the middle of a very important area, and it's an area that controls oil, which is the life's blood of this world.
And
water, but oil is really the important thing. And I think
I don't totally agree with that. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, no, well, that's what I think. I don't believe, like Mays was saying, the narrative that's put forth, you know. I don't know why that plane was shot down. In fact, sometimes I even question if things actually really happen. I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Great point.
I don't know. I know there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on, and probably what I'm hearing on the corporate news media isn't the truth. You know, I've watched the cable news. I've watched them change the story on things that happen. I've watched people on the ground reporting stuff and saying what happened because they saw it, and then I've watched 5-10 minutes later them put another the same news station put another story out there. So I don't know what's true, what's not. But all I was saying was this: I don't think Israel was formed had anything to do with any Bible prophecy. I don't think it had anything to do with this. If someone cared about these people so much, they wouldn't have let so many of them be slaughtered like that.
I believe that they
were creating a foothold to maintain order in a very chaotic area that's been chaotic for quite some time, in order to have control in a staging ground to control those oil fields. And
well,
you're saying a lot. Go ahead.
You're saying a lot, and I just want to say, like I said from the very beginning, if the people were, and I'm not saying that they were specifically put there because of prophecy. What I'm saying is they were put there for the appearance of prophecy. And the thing is, if 1948, oh yes, they're going back to the land, and all of this and all of that. And this is what the news media was saying. It's Bible prophecy.
I have a question for you. Why they never called them before they put them there? What were they called before they went to Israel?
They were called Jews. They're Ashkenazi Jews that have been practicing the faith of Judaism for approximately 1,000 years, and these people come from the Khazar region. which is probably modern day, you know, Iraq,
Turkey
around there. Yeah, Iraq and Turkey,
right.
But let me just say this real quick. I'm sorry, I'm taking too long.
These
people adopted the religion. They were adopted.
They didn't. Well, they did not. They did. They adopted a heritage. Wordplay
well,
is very
important.
Well, they
stole a heritage, but they adopted a religion, and the reason why they did it because they wanted to identify with people of the book, and what it did, it allowed them to trade.
Yeah, I think,
it allowed
I think
them
when we
to
go
trade
down the rabbit people. Hole of trying to have the religious discussion, I think that's when we get a little bit away from the discussion about God.
I'm not talking about the component
where you have people fighting regarding upholding their religion. What I'm saying is, if we open up a Bible study or a Torah study or whatever your preference. I said that is when we start to get a little bit outside of what's happening. Because at the moment I'm moderating, so wait a minute, let me finish. What I'm saying is when we're talking about what's happening currently, right? And so when we start to quote our personal beliefs, for example, and whatever your faith concepts are, your ideology, and we start to say, well, in my studies of this particular religion of choice, it's blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying when we get onto our personal ideas from that, our ideology, that's when it can get a little tricky. And what I'm asking is that when we talk about what's happening, that we can focus on information, evidence, things that's been provided, that's been laid out before us, and let's try to keep it there so we don't get kind of like confused and start quoting different books and things like that and get way outside of what we're talking about. That's all.
That's part of what makes these conversations interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of how we all learn. And the three of us, Mays, Lowe, and myself, we have a bit of history together. We've spent hours discussing things. And what makes what makes these conversations interesting is not necessarily sticking exactly on the topic. But what the give and take is good is that when we all add our different perspectives of what we know. I know the foundation of where Lowe comes from. It has to do with the Bible.
That's not what I was saying.
I understand what you're saying. You're trying to confine what we always
do.
What I'm saying is if
one person starts to talk about whatever, and that leads you to a rabbit hole where you're just stuck in this one isolated place over there in La La Land somewhere, where we could have opened up a variety of different options. That's what I'm saying. I'm not coming against anybody's beliefs or anything. What I'm saying is if you get caught up in this one little small island, and then we get stuck there for the whole 17 minutes. Can I say something? I wasn't finished trying to finish my thought. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. But all I was saying is that if you use particular text and you're combating with this scripture and that scripture and that scripture, whatever your faith is, what can happen is the discussion would just linger in that one area because one person is going to hold on to that ideology, right? And then they're going to keep going back and forth to that, which will keep you concentrated on one area instead of covering the entirety of the thing, whatever your preference is. I'm not saying don't come with your preference. I'm just saying don't get stuck because you're trying to beat your idea into somebody else's head.
speak your piece,
well,
share your
ideas. I think all three of us know.
That's all I was saying.
We have these discussions. All three of us know ain't nobody going to change their mind about too much. It might open your mind a little bit, but we're all strong people with thoughts and ideas and beliefs.
So,
and we do this.
Yes.
And we do this and do this often. And sometimes we fight and argue with each other, and then sometimes we're civil. But I mean, this is there's some history here.
So
we all know each other.
It wasn't a knock against the history.
There's some history here. I don't know.
Well, when you read the Bible, you have some people say rumors and rumors of wars, and I'm saying like, okay, if rumors and rumors of wars, they were saying this is what we are seeing now. I'm saying if that's the case, that's already happened, because then you go back to the Old Testament, but then you have the New Testament, and you got all these testaments before, and there's different things in both of them. And I was saying, like, well, you're going to go back to the beginning, or you're going back to when they came up with the new. And it's confusing to some people, and then they were saying it's in the Bible, but those wars have already happened. That's why you have the different countries that used to be named with different names that you don't see now. That's when the wars came along, and they changed them to what we see now, but not back in the Old Testament. Those names are not there anymore, unless you got an old Bible, and you can see the maps, and everything that was laid back then, those wars already happened. So when you hear the people saying rumors and rumors and wars, and the end is coming, and I'm looking at them like, really? But if you don't look at what, I mean, pay attention to details, you're going to be believing that too. Say, but the only thing that's in the Bible that's still the same is the commandments, and everything else in there was written by a man. So that's when they switch from the old to the new, and some people say, well, that Bible's no good anymore. So I don't argue with people about their religions. Whatever religion they want to be in, that's their business.
I was just trying to give everybody the heads up because it's only 14 minutes left. I didn't want people to not get a chance to share their thoughts or their ideas, because we're not going into overtime. So I wanted to make sure everybody got a chance to share their ideas. That's all.
Because you can learn a lot of different things from other people's religion if you pay attention to detail, or if you've been around them and see how it works. But when we're looking at now, has nothing to do with what's happening now, because it's not right. And you got the media won't even talk about it. It's not even a discussion to be had. And all you hear them screaming like, they're my friends. Sometimes if you tell your friend that they're doing wrong and they keep on doing it and keep on doing it, what should happen to your friend? Just let them keep on?
Nah, you distance yourself from that friend. There's no such thing as unconditional friendship.
No, it's not. And then some people are scared to have a conversation about it.
Because it rocks the boat.
It's a punishment.
Because it rocks the boat. It rocks the boat. And you're talking to someone that, you know, I've lived my life as a boat rocker. So I'm not afraid to say what I think.
So if you're not saying anything about it, that means you're agreeing with it, right? Or not?
Well,
or you just don't care?
Martin Luther King has a quote about that, a famous quote about that, about the silence of the good people. Is paraphrasing is really the problem, not necessarily the bad people, but the good people that see wrong and won't speak or do anything about it.
And a part of what we see over in Israel is a part of to do with that water, because with that water, if you own the rights to that water, you're going to tell what's going inside of it and coming out, and you're going to control it. But if somebody else is in your way, you're going to do what you're doing to push them on back further so they don't have nothing.
Well, you're talking about the water itself?
Yes, the water itself.
The earth.
Ship's got to come through.
All right, you're talking about the water as far as being a pathway for the oil tankers to get through. It's all about, I think a lot of this is all about oil. It's about oil, it's about power. And, you know, if you look at the origins, the way that everyone blindly, not everyone, but the media, or at least the corporate media, and I've seen this in my lifetime, and you've seen it too, that Israel can do no wrong. And there's so many people that are convinced of this, that they can do the wrong, that, you know, attacking and bombing churches and hospitals, and when innocents are killed, that's wrong. And you know, I've always felt that no life is greater than another life. And you'd be surprised how infuriated some people get when you say something as basic as that. I mean, let's look at the pretext of how this particular engagement that's gone on about a month, of how it started. Well, you have three Israeli teens that were found murdered. Now, before any due process, okay, there's attacks and heavy-handed attacks. So it's bigger than these three people being killed. And it's even possible, I don't put anything past anyone. You know, these three people could be sacrificial lambs. This could be a false flag as a reason to go in to this area and punish these people. And the rest, and you know, the rest of the world, not here in the United States, but mm-hmm. all over the rest of the world, there are people out protesting the treatment, the barbaric treatment of these people.
But American people are not seeing it.
Of these people in Palestine.
Uh-huh.
No, you have to search. You have to search to hear. You have to search and look for alternative news sources. And you can have discussions with people that are completely blinded, and it's part of because of what Lowe said. And I know that no side is completely right and no side is completely wrong. It's not absolutes. But when people have the idea that these people are God's chosen people, and it's based on their interpretation of religion and their beliefs, and that these people can do no wrong, it skews your common sense. Wrong is wrong, no matter who does it, and evil is evil. And killing children and civilians and women. I mean, I don't really think war is a good thing at all. Soldiers killing soldiers isn't a good thing, but at least that's what they're trained to do. That's their job. It comes with the territory. But if you were to look at some of the pictures that I've seen, and I've searched for them online and see the carnage and the horror on these people's face that are being civilians that are being attacked by a mighty military force, you know, it's painful to look at. I'm done. Hello?
Hello? I guess you're still on.
Final thoughts?
I was finished.
Any final thoughts for you guys?
Oh, that's my thoughts.
Oh. Did you want to share any final thoughts as well, Mace?
Yes, and I think it's wrong, and people should speak up about it and talk about it and let them know that it's wrong. Because how are you going to have a Holocaust and then turn around and give somebody else hell? You'll be the most people walking on the planet. And that's the way I see it. I'm not looking at this American media, TV. There's news outside of this TV that we see of all these people making up excuses. Excuses are over. Because what do you think those kids are going to do as they grow? And then when they get up and after the dust is settled, you got to go no place. You're just in the mix of nothing. And you were like that in the beginning. Your side was a bad, was nothing, slums, and the other side was great with a shield. But you're going to come after me with big tanks. And then you got to justify it. I don't think so. And that's all I got to say on that. And over there in Russia, ain't got nothing to do with America. That's the Europeans' myth that they need to settle. And you don't never hear them standing up talking or having no conversation about it. All you used to do is see the American president speaking about it. Well, they speak for themselves sometime, too. Maybe we will see an end to some of this mess we see going around. And it might end some of that that's happening in America, too. Because it's all playing in somebody's dark room. And that's all I got to say.
Thanks so much. Appreciate everyone's comment, everybody's contribution. Definitely wasn't trying to come off harsh. Just want everybody to get their opportunity to share their thoughts before the time doesn't permit. Obviously, that's all. I try to make sure everybody get a chance to get involved and share their thoughts, because I have had those experiences where I've gone to places and tried to get on shows, and I just wanted to share one thought. Couldn't get a word in other places. So I enjoy it more when people are able to reflect and share their ideas, whatever their ideas are, whatever their thoughts are wonderful. We will not be broadcasting again until August 4th, which is the return of Mr. Talk. Yay! I hope you guys are excited, because I am. That means I can be a co-host once again. Yes. Enjoy that. I appreciate that. I prefer that for myself. Can't hold a candle up to the host. He has built this platform, and I am sure that those who come here come to hear him, because after all, that's who created this platform in the first place. So I'm excited that he will be making his return. It has not been an easy road at all, trying to spend a temporary moment in time as a host, but as some would say, I made it through. Yeah, so I will gladly, and I do really mean gladly, return to co-hosting where I will sit in the background and enjoy watching as the platform continues to move forward. Remember, guys, you can support the show by supporting our sponsors at audible.com. That, again, is audible.com. And you can make your purchase by going to audible.com/letstalk. That's audible.com/letstalk. I'm going to put on the remainder, the final bits and pieces of the recording, the sound bites that I was recording earlier. So if you want to continue to listen to it, it'll probably cut you off on the live stream. You can call in at 347-838-8622. That's 347-838-8622. And there's, I believe, a few more minutes left of this, the recording I played at the beginning of the show of Charlie McGrath and going. So if you want to hear more about that, make sure you tune in now, call in, so you can listen to it live, or you can wait for the archive. So I'm going to play that now.
Central Banker, what's happening tonight?
People in the East are just, it's like when
according to the Rand Corporation, they're going to lose all their property. They'll think it's absolutely fine that they go in and just, murder the hell out of hundreds and hundreds of people.
Hey, I mean, it's different. I think it's a lot different. I think people are really tired of it. It may have run its course, and it might be time for a new plan, but Israel may be guilty of war crimes, the UN human rights chief said. The fact that you have a lot of people in the State Department that are, anti-Putin, but they're now, throwing Israel into that bandwagon. Of course, they have lots of power, and I'm not trying to diminish the power that they still have, but
right.
Definitely getting a lot more heat. I don't think that you can really...
Wow. Well, for whatever reason, the recording... not work. So instead, what I will do is just do my closing remarks. So love and hugs to everyone in the chat room, on the phone lines, and to all you subscribers and archivers of the show. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. Remember to come on back Monday, August 4th, which is the next time you will be getting a broadcast Same BTR channel, same BTR time. Remember, Mr. Talk will be back. That's right, Mr. Talk will be back. Absolutely. So enjoy your the remainder of your day. Enjoy your weekends as well in advance, and we will see you guys back here Monday. So that's it. Show's over. Close the curtain. Exit the building. Another chapter in the book. Until next time, have a joyous and peaceful day. And remember, stay awesome.